The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, February the 17th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Hyacinth Bouquet's 96th Birthday. Yes, the actress Patricia Routledge, who played Hyacinth Bouquet in Keeping Up Appearances, is 96 years old today. And on the subject of Keeping Up Appearances, get this, folks. I found this out by mistake when I found it was her 96th birthday today. But if you type into Google Keeping Up Appearances, BBC's most popular show, the AI overview, which is the new thing they keep putting up at the top, responds as follows. Keeping Up Appearances is the BBC's most popular show for export and is especially popular in Scandinavia and Eastern Europe. How popular is Keeping Up Appearances? Keeping Up Appearances has been bought almost 1,000 times by overseas broadcasters, more than any other BBC show in the last 40 years. Okay, so the time is 9:25 a.m. here in London, making it 4:25 in on the east coast of America, rather, and 1:25 on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so what have I downloaded today? Not a great deal, because let me just refresh this, see if it's been updated. The Republic Broadcasting Archives.org only goes up to Luca's World with Luca Magno. So they do this sometimes. They don't upload all the previous archives from the night before, and they wait until they get in, which is a bit annoying, to be honest. But there you go. I'm waiting for Robert Ravolt's Incendiary Radio Show, but the last couple of weeks he had guest hosts on, so again, I'm not sure what is going on there. That is something I generally listen to on a Monday. What else have I got? I've been over to the Victor Hugo BitChute site again. He was interviewing somebody on a video. Let me tell you what one it's called. It was so you go to bitchute.com, look for Victor Hugo channel. It's called X22 Report, SGT Report, Elon Musk, Trump, Flynn, David Nino Rodriguez Exposed, Thomas Williams, Victor Hugo. And he alleges near the start of that show that Donald Jeffries, who's one of my favorites on the Jeff Rentz program every Monday first hour, had asked to be on the X22 report and was told he had to pay a load of money to be on there. So I'm not sure if that's true. I'm simply reporting what Victor Hugo said on that show. A couple of shows from the weekend that were also, sorry, from yesterday. If you go to the Dustin Nemos on Brighteon.com, he has put up a new episode of Silent War. That's generally about 20 minutes or so. So that's there. And other things that I've listened to over the weekend already are Paul English was on with Dennis Fetcho. You can go to grizzom.blogspot.com. That's grizzom.blogspot.com. So it was interesting to hear them talk together in the final hour. So if you just want to hear that part of the show, just go forward to the final hour. You'll find it. And the rest was solo with, I think, one caller that I remember. And also the Eyes is Watching. I've switched to the BitChute channel for that now, even though BitChute, since it acquired some new investor that I believe Jim Rizzoli was on with, it's also acquired adverts at the start of every video. So every video now you have to wait 5 seconds to skip an annoying advert. And they also have sometimes a little pop-up box saying what history happened on that day. That always seems to have a certain flavour, but we'll just leave that there. I'm not blaming Jim Rizzoli for this. I still listen to him every day and enjoy his shows with Diane at his BitChute channel. But I find it very interesting that we were told there was this new investor into BitChute, and suddenly we're subjected to all these adverts on every video you click on. Okay, so as I say, Eyes is Watching. That's Eyes is Watching without the G at the end. You can find that on BitChute. You can find it on Odyssey, but I find BitChute is a better downloader than Odyssey is. And going back to Victor Hugo, there was one show I listened to over the weekend. You see, the problem is I criticise this because, for example, I've downloaded 5 of his shows today and they're all like snippets of other shows and they've got no dates on them. They've all got long titles that just have names in and don't really give you an idea of what they're going to be talking about. And I thought to myself, you know what, I'm only going to download what looks like a full show from now on. And then I thought, actually, at the weekend, I downloaded this 12-minute 45-second clip, and I've listened to it 5 times, and I just listened to it again this morning because I was going to direct you to where you can find it, and I will do that now. It's simply called, obviously you go to bitchute.com, look for the Victor Hugo channel, and it's just called Artificial Intelligence, Demons, Geordie Rose, D-Wave, Quantum Computing, Shiva, Brandon Kroll, Victor Hugo. That is a classic Victor Hugo title, just a load of names, no dates, stuff like that. But I listened to it a 5th time this morning, and actually the first 4.5 minutes, this is the sort of conspiracy stuff that has always interested me. This is the stuff I go for that gets me quite excited in a dystopian sort of way, but strings things together a lot more reasonably, I think, than one of these, say, political commentators will explain things. I think this makes more sense. And of course, a political commentator would hear this and say, this is just madness. But to me, this makes more sense than the political commentator would say. And I'm talking about political commentator in the independent alternative media. So I'm going to play it for you now. As I say, it's 12 minutes 45 seconds. But having listened to it a 5th time today, all the information that interested me was in the first 4.5 minutes. So that's what I'm going to play. It opens up with Brandon Kroll speaking, K-R-O-L-L. And I'm going to look into him. He's got channels somewhere. So be looking him up. And then Victor Hugo comes in later on. But make of this what you will. It just may or may not be true. Here we go, folks.
True. You can find this on whatis.com, that a demon, or daemon, is from the Greek, D-A-E-M-O-N, is a program or process, part of a larger program or process that is dormant in certain conditions, and then it is initiated to do its processing. Eric Raymond cites artificial intelligence, AI, is the applicational as an example. AI is a program that might include a large number of demons, one or more of which might become active when a new place or knowledge is acquired by the AI program. Over at CERN, I think this is where the individuals comes from, the shadows of these parallel worlds, as we saw with Elon opening the portals, overlap for sure. And if we are smart enough, we will dive into them and grab their resources and pull them back into ours to make an effect in our world. Now, this may sound very odd to you and bizarre. In fact, I am using a language that a normal theoretical physicist probably wouldn't use. But what I'm telling you is absolutely correct and in line with what these things actually work. Quote by Geordie Rose, inventor of the D-Wave, the Demon Wave, quantum computer describing the capabilities of the D-Wave, Demon Wave.
Yeah.
Something else
I've heard
I found.
That speak, man. It's pretty creepy. I've heard him speak, and yeah, they know that they're summoning demons.
Mm-hmm. Big time. So, according to Anunnaki history, according to Sitchin interpretation, the Anunnaki, aka when they bring back Project Bluebeam, modified early humans to serve as a workforce. Interestingly enough, around the same time, Microsoft's Copilot AI tells users to worship it and calls them slaves. Demon, again, comes from the Greek for word meaning spirit being. In Enoch, it states that when the giants are slain, the Nephilim, their spirits, the demons, would roam the earth for 70 generations until the time of the end. Christ was always casting demons out from human possession. So whether it's the chakra, the kundalini, or whatever have you, what they're doing, the New Agers, finding the inner light of God, that's Masonic, in yourself, when they're saying that, is deceived into thinking that they can ascend. The man, when we saw all those photos, they can ascend to become like your own God, when in reality, they'll become vessels for a massive technological possession grid. And that's what 6G or the Star of Remphan is ultimately going to be. And then
Trump and Elon Musk, and what they're doing right now is they're leading people down that path.
Yes.
And that's what's a shame, that these Christians are falling for these people who are telling them all these things of how they should trust Elon Musk and trust Trump. And I'm just saying, question these people, hold them to account. If Trump doesn't come in and get rid of the Federal Reserve and create sound currency, and if he doesn't hold these people accountable who have created such chaos and such misery and death, then everything is just a lie, because there's no accountability. And if there's no justice, there's no peace.
Right. They can eliminate the Federal Reserve. Why? Because they want to go digital. So here's the thing. If the slaves are no longer needed on our monetary system, we crash the currency and we create a Bitcoin substitute. And if Trump's leading it, you really think his followers would not second guess it? So you crash the economy and you put it in safe hands like Elon, and you have Trump, who's exchequer of the world and Vatican Bank, lead this whole thing? So yeah, you can get rid of the Federal Reserve. You can get rid of the medical thing like Dr. Kennedy is pitching. Why? Because we won't need it anymore. You're going to be vessels for harvesting. You're going to be human antennas by 2030 for our 5G. But these demonic beings, basically, they're harvesting you for their energy. Like, they're eating people with McDonald's. This is now going to be the equivalent of what they're going to do. We're going to use your vessel as an energy source to power this.
Okay, so not sure about the McDonald's thing. I've heard that before. I even saw an article once where they said that there was a small proportion of human meat found in McDonald's on some sort of mainstream site. But what jumped out at me from that was they're going to be using us as an energy source. And it made me think back to those stories about people who'd had the vaccine suddenly being able to, being shown as a like antenna when they were looking for Wi-Fi. It was pointing to them. Do you know what I mean? So there was something in there. When you think about it, it could quite easily be, you know, when we're moving our arms and all these different things, we're creating energy, and they can be using all of that to feed back to them to get the energy to power them. And I know it's very science fiction and fanciful it sounds, but I've long felt that, going back historically, the reason why one of the reasons why governments treat their people so badly is the people who control them actually get some sort of sustenance. They feed on negative energy that is generated by people under extreme forms of stress. And that is why this is done. They feed on that. And I believe that that's what demonic entities do feed on. So I found that clip absolutely fascinating, which is why I've listened to it so many times. And I hope it was of interest to you. Okay, so let's see how the news has been developing since Saturday's show. So I'm going to go over to my first story. Police issue second mugshot of convicted female British ISIS terrorist after she complained that first picture showed her head without a head covering, rather. This is quite funny, actually, when you click on this article. It's Daily Mail, as they all are. So you've got someone having a mugshot taken for the police, and all you can see is their eyes, which is a bit pointless having a mugshot, isn't it, really? But what the Daily Mail have done is that they've still included the original mugshot without the head covering as well in the article. So that was something that jumped out at me. And then, get this, Leonardo DiCaprio has frog named after him. And no, it's not because it is only attracted to young females. And he famously just goes after 25-year-olds. And anyway, according to the article, this species of frog, which has just been discovered in Ecuador, is named Philonastes DiCaprioi, after the 50-year-old actor, in tribute to his environmental work. Now, I had a friend, I think I've still got him, I haven't spoken to him for a while, but he did a PhD in this sort of thing, amphibians and, I forget, it was not reptology, it was something to do with all snakes, amphibians, all that sort of stuff. He was, I don't know why I was so interested in that, these creepy crawlies, but he was. And he said a successful PhD, because he went out, he didn't go to Ecuador, he went to Costa Rica. He said the successful PhD finds a new species. So you hear about new species being found all the time, and a lot of these are people doing qualifications such as this. And when they find something else, that can, you know, tip the balance, or, well, it certainly won't hurt them qualifying with the PhD or whatever it is that they're studying for. So, anyway, let's move on to Kemi Badenoch says free speech is under threat after J.D. Vance's attack on European values and abortion clinic safe zones in Britain. Now, Kemi Badenoch is the new Conservative Party leader, so she's the main leader of the opposition in the House of Commons. And I have long said, when they start coming out protesting the boats and what have you, what have you been doing for the last 14 years when you were in power? All right, but I do recall that Kemi Badenoch was speaking up for free speech for quite a while when she was in, I think she had positions in government, but she was always erred more on the side of free speech than many of her colleagues. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to read to you what she said here that is quoted in this article. Ms. Badenoch urged Britons to fight for free speech, saying she supported those questioning the status quo. This is what she said. Free speech is precious and under threat. We must fight for it. It challenges dangerous orthodoxies and sparks change. She said she also hates cancel culture, suggested the government had stepped over the line between protecting the public and allowing free speech. Rules to protect people from perceived harm have been overreached. Being upset or offended shouldn't be the state's concern, she said. Silencing free speech harms democracy, culture, and individual resilience. Without free speech, false ideas thrive unchallenged. So there you go. And I'm going to share a story with you that I've not shared before. I've thought about doing it, but I just suddenly thought I'm going to do it now. I wasn't going to do it, but just reading what she said. Now, I was educated privately. That meant I went to a fee-paying school up to the age of 13. And then I chose not to continue going to another fee-paying school, which is what's called a public school in the UK. Goodness knows why, because you have to pay to go there. Because they had such long hours. They also did 8 till 4 on a Saturday and every other Sunday. And it was probably because it was a boarding school, but I wouldn't have been boarding. I'd have been a day pupil, but I'd have to go in all that time. I couldn't wait to get out of school, folks, and get home. I hated school. But when I was at my fee-paying schools, being born with a cleft palate and a hair lip, children were obviously told never to say anything about it to me. Okay? Now, I didn't get that same consideration when I was thrown into the local comprehensive at the age of 13. So consequently, I suddenly got all this name-calling that I was so unprepared for, because the decision had been made that it would be better for me if this was just ignored in my younger years. But on reflection, if I'd have just had to deal with it as a child and develop my own sort of way of deflecting it, coping mechanism, stuff like that, rather than suddenly get all this thrown at me when you, you know, you're starting to get interested in girls, you're going through puberty at the age of 13, stuff like that. I think my life would have been a lot easier having been able to challenge it earlier on. So this is an example of how silencing people's free speech actually had an effect on me in later life. And it's the same way that if you say something to offend somebody, say they've got a particular lifestyle that's very unhealthy, and you say something, oh, I'm offended, oh, I'm going to report you, you've upset me. Well, if that lifestyle that they're following ends up resulting in them being dead in a couple of years, wouldn't they have been better off listening to you in the first place? All these things aren't taken into consideration. And the best way to address somebody who's insulting you is to prove them wrong. So my voice, for example, is quite a nasal voice. Well, people listen to me. Cypress Hill, the lead singer, makes fun of his nasal voice that has sold millions of records around the world. So let people come, let people say things, but judge yourself on your merits. And so if somebody ever insults you, just prove them wrong by what you do. And if you're not able to prove what they're saying is wrong, maybe you need to change your lifestyle in order to avoid being insulted again. Maybe that would be the solution rather than let's silence everybody. Just a thought. Okay, let's move on to, I love this. It's just called Clarifications and Corrections. That's all the article is called, right? It's on the Mail on Sunday, yesterday. And I can read you the article because it's only one paragraph. On 5th of October 2024, an opinion piece stated that Dale Vince had said that, in the wake of the 2023 Hamas massacre, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. We accept that this misinterprets his position and wish to make clear that Mr. Vince does not support Hamas in any way. We apologise to Mr. Vince for any damage and distress caused. Now, the funny thing was it did actually say, comments on this article are now closed. Since it just says share or comment on this article, clarifications and corrections. Well, and it's just got the speech bubble and nowhere that you can comment, okay? I don't think the comments were ever open because I saw it quite early on. And the other thing that I noticed about this clarifications and corrections, it was right at the bottom of the page when I saw it. So it might have been higher up earlier in the day, I don't know. But when I saw it, it was right at the bottom of the page. But I wonder if this clarifications and corrections article was given the same prominence as the one that they're apologising for. Just a thought. You see, for me, the newspapers have been long known that when they do have to issue an apology, the original story that they were apologising for, probably front page news, what they sold a lot of papers for. But when they're admitting they got something wrong to avoid a lawsuit, oh, you get a little column maybe at the bottom of page 7. Something like that. So for me, they should have to give the apology the exact same prominence as they gave the original article, point one, and that should be in law, so they can't just, you know, it's not fair, is it, if the, you know, the apology isn't given the same prominence as the original article, because a lot of people aren't going to read this, they're not going to wait till they get to the bottom of the Daily Mail website like I do every day. I wouldn't do it for fun. I do it so you don't have to. So that is something that jumped out at me there. And finally, foul-mouthed pub parrot is ruffling the feathers of locals after picking up their bad language. Now, this is in the Clifton Hotel in Cardiff, and the bird apparently used to be shy, but now swears and tells customers, "You're barred," often while stealing the bobbles off their bobble hats. Now, I lived in West Ham for a while, and the nearest shops to West Ham tube station are Canning Town, funnily enough, which is near another tube station, but yeah. West Ham tube station is actually in quite a, just lots of houses around there, which is where, you know, when was I living there? I think the year 2000, yeah. Year 2000, that sort of time, for about a year, 2000 to early 2001. And in Canning Town, they had a, I think it was a cockatoo in a pub once. It was like a sea of smoke. You know, I miss that now. I remember walking in at the time, I thought it's even too smoky for me, and I'm a smoker. But this little cockatoo sat on a little perch there, but not in a cage, you know, so it could roam. A friend of mine that I used to work with, he had a parrot. And he said, the idea of having a parrot, the commitment you have to make is that you're going to have a four-year-old child for the rest of your life. And the chances are you're going to have to leave it to someone else, because these things can live to like 80-odd years old. And he's since passed, so I'd be interested to know who his parrot went to. But the parrot would do things like get grapes that you gave it and dive bomb and drop them on your head and stuff like that, you know, just to try and have a bit of fun. And also, you had to be careful when you fed it, because they could claw or get you with their beak. And he used to turn up and have all these horrible cuts and that on his fingers. I don't think the parrot did it deliberately. I think it was, you know, he just didn't realise the impact that it could have. But I heard another story similar to this, that a lady, I believe this was a minor bird, not a parrot, but she had some builders in. I think my mother told me this, that my grandmother had told her, had some builders in, and after they left, this minor bird had all this language that it never picked up anywhere else, and the owner of the minor bird was most upset and trying to work out how to stop it saying what it was saying that obviously it had picked up from the builders. Okay, so let's see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. So we'll start off with Associated Press, apnews.com. Ukraine's President Zelensky travels to United Arab Emirates as momentum grows for war peace talks. Now, the European leaders are meeting in Paris today for what's expressed here as a strategy huddle after Trump diplomatic blitz on Ukraine. So this is the main story on AP at the moment. Let's go over to see what the top 10 most read stories are on the BBC website. I'll tell you the top story at the moment. It says, live, Starmer ready to put peacekeeping troops in Ukraine as Europe holds emergency talks. Well, just listen to a recent show I did with Dr. Peter Hammond, and you will learn what these so-called peacekeeping troops get up to. So, special forces blocked 2,000 credible asylum claims from Afghan commandos, Ministry of Defence confirms. So that is the third top article. At least 9 dead in US floods and heavy rain. You'll know more about that in the United States than me, but please keep all these people in your prayers. And Conclave and the Brutalists win big at the BAFTAs. Not heard of either of them, and not really interested, as I say. I think that the only actor I recognised, was it Ralph Fiennes or something like that? I think he might have been the only one that I recognised out of the list of actors that were up for it. I think, Adrian Brody, I recognised his name. He won an Oscar for The Pianist, which didn't interest me at all. But then his career sort of, well, put it this way, he turned up in a Predator sequel. So I think going from Best Actor Oscar winner to a Predator sequel, it's a bit of a drop, isn't it? But I believe that it was in that order. Maybe I've got the order wrong. But anyway, look into that if you so desire. Let's go over to Daily Mail. See what the top story is here. Well, they've got England and Wales's most dangerous streets. Map of 37,000 neighbourhoods lays bare hotspots for violent and sexual offences. So how crime-ridden is your district? This is the sort of thing that probably won't work in Brave, because I've tried, when you hover over on this website. I will say something I did see. Warwick Davis got some sort of Lifetime Achievement Award at the BAFTAs, which was nice. I've seen him in... he comes across quite a nice chap, actually. He went to City of London Freeman School, which was a fee-paying school that I used to drive past, or my mum would drive me past, on the way to the school I went to, which was Downs End School in Leatherhead. City of London Freeman's is in Ashstead. And that is the Downs End School is where Bishop Richard Williamson went as well, as a fee-paying school up to the age of 13, like myself. More useless information for you there. Okay, let's go over to see what's going on in the independent news. So we'll start off with RT.com. I'll throw this one in. I don't tend to cover the Ukraine stuff here because it's obviously going to be one-sided from RT.com. But it says Ukraine accused of wasting UK-supplied weapons. And that's actually according to The Telegraph, which is a British newspaper. Kiev's forces are treating expensive high-precision Western arms as highly expendable, the paper's sources have said. Okay, let's go over to rents.com, see what's going on over there. There is something that's at the top that is well worth a watch. I watched it yesterday. It is a RFK video about vaccines and about vaccine harms, and it's only about 3 minutes. But I actually watched it with the sound off because it's got subtitles. So
I don't look into Anthony Fauci's head. I don't look into Bill Gates' head. I don't say he did this because he was greedy or because he was manipulative. I just lay out what they did, and the story speaks for itself. And, you know, it's a story of really of people involved in really terrible, terrible, immoral, homicidal criminal behavior. And using a position in government that he had for 50 years without any election to clamp down these totalitarian controls that were not science-based and that everybody now admits there was no science. In fact, yesterday, the chief attorney for FDA admitted that there was no reason. He admitted because he lost the case in court against the doctor, but there was no reason to discourage people from taking ivermectin. Ivermectin was a very, very devastating cure for COVID. It literally obliterated COVID. And, you know, by depriving people of ivermectin, millions of people around the globe died. And they didn't need to. There were cures for COVID from day one, and very effective cures. Right. But they didn't want that. They wanted the vaccine only. And there was a rule. There's a rule, you know, a little-known federal rule that they were all aware of, which said that you cannot issue an emergency use authorization for a vaccine if there is an existing remedy that has already been approved for any use. So if they admitted that hydroxychloroquine or famotidine or ivermectin or any of the 25 existing therapeutic drugs that were very effective against COVID, if they admitted that any of them were effective, the whole vaccine project would have fallen apart. They couldn't have done it. And so they decided that they were going to pretend that there was no cure except for the vaccine. And they gave people a product that was not properly tested, and then now you have a whole generation of kids that has now, you know, got myocarditis, these terrible heart problems in young athletic boys. You're seeing so many kids now drop dead on playing fields,
right.
And that we never saw anything like this before. On average, it was, I think, 29 a month globally, athletes who died on the field. And we were getting down to hundreds a month now.
Right.
And it's, you know, and there still has to be a reckoning. The mainstream media hasn't caught up with the science. But the science is out there now, and it's devastating.
Okay, well, again, I would go back to what was said by Brandon Kroll that I played earlier in the show. The reason that COVID wasn't doing anywhere near the damage that it was just flu, but they rebranded it as COVID so they could use it as an excuse to get this vaccine into people, which Brandon Kroll has said is basically designed to harvest people. And yeah, that's my opinion. So I think that RFK has got some of it right, but he hasn't gone the whole distance. It's important to take a little bit here and a little bit there and come up with our own understanding of what is going on in the world. But that was a very important video, so worth playing, and you can watch it with Robert Kennedy himself speaking on video at rents.com. So let's move over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Excuse me, see what's going on over there. Federal judge who ordered Trump to restore funding sits on the board of directors of an NGO receiving federal funding. Conflict of interest. And then Korean banks halt sales of gold and silver bars. It's official. Europe not invited to US. Russia talks on Ukraine. Okay, let's go over to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis' website. Thank you to Mark and Jeff Rents for their support of this show. The video at the top is called Where is the Media Outcry? earthnewspaper.com. Shock Hamas move, batters ceasefire busting Israel. And that's a 10-minute video by Kerno Damo. Takes you to a rumble.com link below it. Quote of the day, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So this is something you've got to remember here, because it's the love of money is the root of all evil, that basically greed. It's not saying, some people interpret this and say, oh, well, we can't have money at all, we've got to go and live in a field, live off the land, stuff like that. No, it's saying you need what you need to survive. But it's when you get greedy and want more and more that you don't need, that is when you are going down a very bad path. And that is the root of all evil. That is my interpretation of that. What's the next one? Censored.news. See what's going on over here. Is there anything worth talking about? Has this been updated? You know what? I'm going to go down to the expose, because they do put some interesting articles up. UK government is regulating farmers off their land and will destroy centuries-old farming traditions. Now, I was listening to the Not the BCFM Politics Show with Tony Gosling and Martin Summers at the weekend, and someone was talking about how they had a farm, but their neighbour had a farm with thousands more acres than they did, but they're not going to be affected by this inheritance tax on farmers, because they've already got their farm registered with a company that is based overseas, so it's not subject to UK inheritance tax. So you can set up a company, say, in the Cayman Islands and say that that company owns that farm. Well, you own that company, but you still get out of paying all these different taxes. So again, are the government going to know these sort of things are going on? Of course they are. Because this is just like the lockdowns before. They want to get the money off the small and medium... They want to get property off the small and medium-sized people. They want to. They don't want these people operating independently. They want the whole thing to be like some great big communist conglomerate that is controlled by their buddies in places like BlackRock. And that's why I said years ago, it's not too far down the road that when you want to go to get your hair cut, you'll be going to an Amazon barber. That's what it's going to be now. There's not going to be any of these independents anymore. Because if they can't get them out of existence like this, you look at things like the national insurance contributions that were interviewed, increased many times over. So big businesses can absorb these increases, but small businesses can't, and they have to close. So then you have less small and medium-sized businesses, and more of this globalist-type business will be taking over that. And that is exactly what the powers that should not be want. So all these different things they put into place is so obvious to me where they're going. And where we're going is towards the end of the show with the BeforeIt'sNews.com Top 10. At 10:02 a.m. London time, this Monday, February the 17th, 2025. Number 10. Went up 14 hours ago, 111 people viewing. Government records on real vampires. I saw that earlier, I think. Reports of paranormal events. And it looks like Washington, D.C. in the background, so it sounds like an a report on real vampires in America. Be interesting to see how they define vampires. I won't be clicking on it because I can't stand vampires. In fact, I just recently, one of the director's commentaries that I downloaded, John Carpenter, was his film Vampires, which was awful, as I believe the follow-up was Ghosts of Mars. But I thought I'd just listen again to the commentaries because I can't bear to watch the films, see if there was anything in there that I was missing that would have made the film more enjoyable. But no, I've never been a fan of vampires. I've never been a fan of werewolves, all these sort of things. I was always more into sort of like the alien side, stuff like that. But, and now I'm sort of bored of them. So anyway, number 9, went up 12 hours ago, 114 people viewing. White House sends official deportation valentines to America's criminal aliens. Number 8, went up 7 hours ago, 135 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump declare war on the USDA. No challenges too great. Number 7 went up 10 hours ago, 137 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and Michael Jayco, urgent emergency. Trump destroys the deep state. Number 6 went up a day ago, 163 people viewing. Estianon, corrupt bankers dragged to Gitmo. QFS and Nazara is ready. Yes, I bet it is. Number 5 went up 3 hours ago, 198 people viewing. Kim Gogwan, full situation update, Rothschilds. Oh, there you go. Number 4 went up 2 hours ago, 202 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, national security alert issued. Nothing can stop what's coming. Number 3 went up 10 hours ago, 230 people viewing. New X-22 report. February the 26th, Trump drop bombshell, wartime president, DC in a panic. Number 2 went up a day ago, 231 people viewing. Jim Willey, chaos is about to ensue and mass executions underway. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 493 people viewing. Ricardo Bossi and Juan O'Savin, urgent emergency. Trump's military alliance executes mass arrest 2025. Okay, let's call it a show. I want to thank all of you for joining me this Monday, February the 17th, 2025, for a show entitled Hyacinth Bucket's 96th Birthday. Peter and I will be back with you tomorrow, so this solo show will be back with you on Wednesday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now.